Not all of us think a hell of a lot about concrete, but those that do find it a real bloody mission to find the good stuff when they need it. Now, tonight's podcast, it's brought to you by Concrete Booking Agency. That's www.concretebookingagency.com.au, all one word. They're changing the way people actually purchase their concrete. One phone call, they source the concrete for you from one of a stack of different suppliers, and bang, your concrete rocks up when it's required. So go to that internet-based website or call them 1-300-266-278. And thank you, boys, at Concrete Booking Agency for your support of the Community Podcast.
That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
Hello, community. Fantasy Footy Times here for another week. Saturday just around the corner, you little belter. How are you out there? How's your Fantasy Footy Times going? We have got a heap to get through, and Rocky Power getting strong now. If that isn't one of the best bloody films you've ever seen in your life, I'll go heave. The absolute motivational of Rocky rising like a phoenix from the depths of the Philadelphians. Wonderful movie, and goodness me, what a theme this week. Rocky, Tom Rockliffe. Are you in that camp that says this is the biggest no-brainer that we've ever seen, that you have to get Rockliffe into your team this week? Or have you got any different thoughts about that? We're going to work through that. We'll work through that like nobody's business this week, because that's bloody huge. Ins this week, we've got some good ones. Cam Ellis-Yeoman, he's back in. Oliver the Thighs Wine, can't wait to see those thighs just sort of grease and slither their way around a football field. Adam Sarge back in, the Gold Coast defender. Few of you might have pissed him off, but he's back. Good news for those that still have him. Testicular rupture, James Kelly is back. And what a brave, brave man you are, James. All the best in your return to the field. There was some talk of you wielding some sort of groin apparatus just to protect the old gonads. But look, you're an inspiration to all of us, mate. You shone the blowtorch on all of us as humans. You made us realise how lucky we are. Those of us, you know, not all of us have both the old fellas in there and healthy. But those of us that do have just, over the last few weeks, had cause to reflect upon what we've got. And it's pretty bloody good down there. We got Mackie back, Jordan Lewis back in for Hawthorn into the guts. We'll have to watch him very, very closely. Jesse Hogan plays and Patrick Cripps plays. So that calf soreness, he's slotted in there in the forward pocket. So that's good news as well. Another one, Dan McKenzie from St Kilda plays again. So he survives to play his fourth game. Outs, no real big ones. We knew about a lot of these. You know, Smith, Rewalt, Loney all had their heads knocked off, so we knew they'd be out this week. Duncan, we knew. He's going to be out for quite some time. That's going to be interesting how that affects the structure of the Geelong midfield. There could be some super coach relevance coming out of that omission of Duncan. Christian Salem will be out for 3 weeks. We'll have to think about moving Salem on. We've got Whitfield out. We've got Andrew Swallow who will sit out as well. So not too bad. Not too bad at the selection table. But I was bloody saying that the other week. And all the bloody danger comes on bloody late outs. Oh, there goes Cripps, there goes Hogan. So let's just hope we have a good weekend where things are just cool. Yeah? Where the team selection committee just hang loose. Don't make all those late changes, because it's absolutely bloody killing us, eh? But Rocky, Tommy Rockliffe, let's whack into it, community.
Hey, Jock. I hope you're feeling better, mate. I've just called in to have a chat about Tommy Rockliffe. I know about 90% of us are thinking about bringing him in, but we're a bit worried about his form. Rightly so. I wasn't going to bring him in because he hasn't been great, let's be honest. But then I thought, history says he scores well later in the season, we know that. So what if you don't bring him in? What if you don't bring him in and he does score well? You've missed out. But what if you do bring him in and he doesn't score well? Well, folk, Jack Nunes, remember him? I've still got him. But that's another story. We all brought him in. He was average. But it didn't matter. because we all brought him in. We were all in it together. We all had him, you know. We all had his bad scores. I feel as though this week Tom Rockliffe will be the same. If you don't bring him in and he does score well, well, you missed out on getting him seriously cheap. But if he doesn't go that well, it's no great loss because a lot of us are in the same boat. We didn't spend any real money on him, so there's not a lot of risk. What do you reckon?
G'day, Jock. Matt here, coach of Lings Bling. And I'm a long-time listener and first-time poster. I absolutely love your work and listen to it on a weekly basis without exception. I'm currently sitting in Finland after spending a wonderful 5 months in Europe and unfortunately in flying back tonight to Hobart. So this week will be a bit tough in Supercoach. However, it has brought me my best ranking that I've ever had over numerous years, currently sitting in 47th place. A lot of things on my mind this week. First and foremost, Ryan Griffin and Tom Rockliffe. And I think I'm going to take the punt, stopping those two. Ryan Griffin just needs to be moved on. He's been rubbish, despite his useful round 13 bye. I think Rockliffe offers a lot of upside, and going early is a little bit of a risk, and that he hasn't cracked a ton yet this year. My tip for other coaches this week, and one thing I want to raise, is definitely keep an eye on the buyers, and also rookies. Don't necessarily trade out all your rookies. Some of them are going to be very useful after the buyers and during the buyers, so make sure you plan the trades very wisely. Good luck to everyone this week. Hopefully it's not as harsh as the last few have been.
Thanks, boys. And yeah, thanks, first of all, there, mate. I'm feeling a lot better. I got the old cough still happening. How good was Lek Dog last week? I hope you're all listening to the Community Night podcast. The rise and rise of Lek Dog just continued with a wonderful, wonderful performance, mate. I want to genuinely thank Lek Dog for filling in for me last weekend, keeping the community with their wisdom. By the way, are you all watching Lek Dog's Tuesday night video? The Mo Supercoach News. It's gathering some real, real steam. There are calls for Lek Dog to put on a bit of a bowler hat. Or throttle finger and general soreness out there on the Twitter. General soreness, by the way, you might have followed General's pre-season articles where he reviewed some of our season 2015 options. He's ranked up around 26. Go, General Soreness, you little beauty. But, boys, yes, the talk is Tom Rockliffe, and rightly so. He is ridiculously cheap. He's had a terrible year. You know, he stuffed up his ribs. He got knocked to kingdom come. Now, we've seen him over the last fortnight scoring a 97 against Carlton. Yeah. Played a lot up forward. 91 against Port. He got a lot of attention. He got tagged. I just want to unpack this Tom Rockliffe thingo. And Matty there, well done as well. Matt, you talked about the, you know, if 90% of us go with him, you can't lose out too much. And I think you're right, mate. Ranked 47th, Matt. Magnificent, mate. You're a beauty. I want to unpack this because I'm nothing if I don't like holding up a mirror to society and holding up a mirror to the community just to make sure that our logic is checked, our logic is sound. And if we're going with a big, you know, global, everyone's getting Tom Rockliffe, is it definitely something you have to do? Is it something you have to do now, this week, or you're stuffed? Because I'm here to tell you I don't think it is. And I just want to unpack that a little bit here for you now. I've made three scenarios which do involve mathematical statistics. Thanks, Peter, for helping me out with this earlier today. With your beautiful brain, your mum let me come over on a day that we're not supposed to be doing stuff because I know she likes you playing the piano and some such. Three scenarios. One, and you mentioned, Matty, the buys are coming, and oh, goodness me, do we have to be wary of these buys? And I wonder how many of us out there are really having a close look, as Matty said, at our rookies. Which one of the rookies that we're thinking about popping off this week could actually help us through a round 11 bye? We have to unpack that one. Very important. Now, Tom Rockliffe, coming up against Essendon, St Kilda, GWS, then bye. So we know we'll get 3 weeks out of him, then bye. We know whichever way he's going to perform over the next 3 weeks after that, bye. Bye. Right? Good. Scenario one, he averages 95. That'll mean he'll be about 460k, about 15 grand more expensive than he is now. Think about that. He hasn't had the ton. He's had an injury-interrupted pre-season. It could happen. It could happen. I'm not saying that's the most likely, but what I'm saying is, look to pick Tom Rockliffe up coming into the round 12 after he's had his bye for only 15 grand more. if we don't think he's going to get the job done. Scenario two, he averages 105. Now, we're more like it. This is where I reckon. Look, he could come out and average 120. I'm not saying he's not going to do that. What I'm saying is I think it's most likely, given his form to date, given his injury interruption, yeah, given the unsurety about his position, is he playing forward? Is he getting tagged? What's going to happen with, you know, when your handlers come back? 105. I think that's about where I'd predict he's going to average over the next 3 weeks. That scenario would pick him up for 480 grand after his round 11 bye. Only about 30 grand more expensive than he is now. 120. If he averages 120, he'll be up to 515k, 65 grand more expensive. Now, what I want to ask you, going back to Matt's call before, where he says, well, look, if 90% of us do it, we're pretty right, because if he's crap, we're all in that boat, you know, which is, you know, good thinking. But what if you're part of the 10% that doesn't get him? Because you've done mathematics like I did today. I did sums, I did rows, I did columns, I did formulae. That's A-E, it's not formulas, A-S, there's an E in formula in the word, because that's English. What if you say, righto, I'm willing to say, in my cortex, if the worst case scenario is an average of 120, and that costs me 65 grand, I'm going to pay that 65 grand for that opportunity to get a real big leg up on the rest of the competition, who could all be wiped out if he gets injured, who could all be wiped out if he averages bloody 70 and they're bloody crying into their Weet-Bix. I'm not saying this is what we should do. I just want to hold up a mirror for everyone to have a look at this thing from different perspectives, is what we call it. You know, you're inside a situation, you want to step out of the situation and look at it from the behind. Because from the front, it might be all bloody roses. But you look around the back and there's sticky tape and crap all over it, and it's just held together by threads. You know? That's all I'm saying. Will I bring in Tom Rockliffe this weekend? Yeah, probably. Probably, after all this. But will I give it some real consideration? Bloody oath I will. It's not a lock. I'm not here to say to you, you have to get Tom Rockliffe. Have a think of that scenario. Do you want to be one of that 10% that don't go with him, and potentially that could be a shark move? The soul goes Rockliffe, you're a bloody shark. Righto, let's get some more calls. I'm crapping on like an old bastard.
How's it going, Jock and Community Dex here? Griffin, how many people of you guys have decided, yep, I'm going to trade him? Or how many of you have already traded him? I think it's, you know, quite a few. If you've traded him, you're locking in a loss. He's dropped 70 grand so far, and he's gone, you know, big week, little week, big week, all the way through. Yes, he's been crappy and all of that. He's averaging, what, 86 or something. He hasn't been lighting up the track, but you're effectively sideways trading, and we all know that that's not a good idea. If you have to trade Griffin, I'd hold him at least to the buy. That's what I'm doing. I'm giving him to the buy. His buy, that is, so round 13, to prove to me that he's a keeper. By then, he could be at 400k. He could also have hit, you know, a purple patch and be back up to 550, and I've decided, yep, I'm keeping Griffin. My point is, trading Griffin, you're locking in a loss. A lot of people are going Griffin to Rocky, you know, making themselves 13 grand. Ooh, yeah, I've made money. You're still losing money. You've lost money. For me, I'll be, yeah, holding him till the round 13 buy. I've also got Lumumba and Nick Nat, who have, all three of them have been pretty ordinary. If I stick to my trade plans, I'll have full premium by round 12. So round 13, I could effectively move or sideways trade or upgrade or whatever you call it, Griffin, Lumumba and Nick Nat. But that's because I'm following my trade plans. Obviously, we can't predict injuries. You know, I've got Sloan. I'm keeping Sloan. I've got him on the bench. So I'll be relying on rookies. But my point is, don't trade Griffin.
Could not agree more with you, Dexter, and hope you've all had a read of Dexter's article. We know Dexter hits the site every week with the Dex Files, where there is all manner of fierce discussion about Jack Zeebel. Jack, what did Crouchin say on the weekend? Jack Z the ball, Jack kick the ball or something. So Dexter's article's going off on the website, and I vehemently agree with Dexter. In this situation as well, like you're saying, he's having poor week, good week, poor week. Let's say he comes out with dual 120s. You could have that situation where 2 weeks' time after we've had enough, everyone's trying to get him back in. So, no, you don't trade him out. We're worried a bit last week, of course, with his bung knee, but as I suspected, it was very late in the game where GWS were absolutely giving it to Carlton, just courageously and brutally. So I suspected he was just being rested for the rest of the game. Good to see him back in. I agree. Don't get rid of Ryan Griffin. Great. Call in, Dexter. I love you, mate.
G'day, guys. It's Cam. I'm talking about the cash cow, Oxley. His break-even's rising. Is it time to slaughter him?
How's it going, Jock? Same issue again, mate. Absolutely love Sunday night's podcast. It was remarkably gross. I had a shocking round last week, and we're currently having a few trade dilemmas. I'm currently plagued with the injuries with the likes of Jaron Geary, Dom Shee, Jack Loney, Brody Smith, and Christian Salem, all sitting out, not to mention the likes of Aaron Vandenberg and Adam Oxley with the high break-evens. I really need to get my priorities right, Jock. Who do you think I should be trading out? Cheers, mate.
Thanks for the call in, boys, and we'll talk about Oxley in a bit, but goodness me, Sammy, our friend there. First of all, sorry about the rough trot you're having, but God, you're still here. You're calling the community. You haven't got your bloody, you know, head in your knees, hiding from the world. You're here in front of your peers saying, oi, I've got a problem, you know, and I need some help. And I think if more of us did that in life, life would be a lot easier for a lot of us. So good on you, mate. And I'm having a look at some of your conundrums. You said Jaron Geary, who's out for a while, 350 grand. Dom Sheed, who's now out for a while, 360 grand. Brody Smith, 365. So goodness me, I'm thinking with Geary and Brody down, you're having a lot of pain in defence. And of course, it's difficult without seeing the structure of your teammate. But what I don't want you to do this week, given all of that mid-price crap you've got going on, don't go the temptation of going Elliot Yeo or Jackson Thurlow. There's a bit of talk about these mid-price defenders. I'll tell you one thing we don't need. That's mid-price defence risks this year. We don't need that. I know Elliot Yeo's been good. He's 146-odd or something over the weekend. But he's had a role change. We don't know how long he's going to stay. For God's sake, don't take risks in your defence. Don't go Geary to Yeo, or don't go Brody Smith to Jackson Thurlow. We haven't seen enough out of these boys. If you got some money that you could free up, I'd prefer that you bring in Heath Shaw if you don't have Heath Shaw. I'd prefer to see you go someone like a Corey Enright, maybe a Sean Burgoyne or a Tom McDonald, just to really lock in a proven premium, because what you do not need, having a look there, mate, is more pain down in your defence. So I'm going to go and say that most of your pain's happening in defence, even though, like you said, you've got Salem, Oxley, Vandenberg, Loney. Try and get a real proven defender in, mate. Don't stuff around. That's what I'm going to say. And very best of luck, mate. I thought we'd just bring in Rocky Balboa, because you reminded me there, Sam, your resilience. You're down and out, but you're not giving in. And I think it's probably a good time we had a bit of a word from Rocky just before we talk about Adam Oxley.
It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of...
Brody Smith, Jaron Geary, Dom Shade,
or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
That was from the Bond Beach Fantasy Community gathering earlier today, and thank you very much for dropping in, mate. Now, let's talk about Adam Oxley. We've had a few calls now, people saying, is it time to move Oxley on? Now, besides the fact that we probably have midfield priorities, I mean, we haven't even talked options like Steve Johnson as well, who you could bring in your midfield, and, you know, we haven't even talked, you know, your Selwoods and these other boys who are dropping off. But so if you are thinking about trying to generate perhaps a bit of cash in your defence of having a closer look at Oxley, I just wonder whether we do want to hold on to Oxley. Have a look at his next four. Gold Coast, North Melbourne, Melbourne, GWS, coming into a round 12 bye. So that could be quite handy, you know, even having him over round 11 in the bye. Maybe we want to have Oxley, possibly with a view to moving him on in one of those bye periods where we have three trades a week. We also know he's got a fair capacity, and if you're looking at Oxley against even Camden McIntosh or Nathan Brown, and you're thinking, which one of those do you want to hang on to because of scoring capacity? Perhaps the wise thing to do is to hang on to Adam Oxley.
G'day, Jock. Leck Dog here. How's it going, mate? Now, a few people are bringing in some mid-prices this week. You got your Sam Doherty's, who I approve of. Brought him in a couple of weeks ago. Hasn't let me down. You've got your Thurlows, who I think is a very good selection running through the midfield a lot. And I don't think the other Geelong boys coming back into the team are going to affect his output. And you got your Yeos from West Coast, and I don't think he can maintain his form. There's another mid-pricer, another 450k player, who not that many people are talking about, and Sean Burgoyne. I mean, he's sitting right there. He's in a great Hawthorn squad, assuming everything's fine and he plays this weekend, and you know, nothing bad happens. I don't know why it would, but you know, every time I talk about someone, I seem to put the curse on them. Now, he's only had the 3 tons this year. He had an 89 in round 2, an 83 in round 4, and then 2 sub-70 games. But he had 111 in round 1, 127 in round 6, and last week had another 103. 450k break, even at 40. High chance to break that. The only issue is his points per minute this year. They've been about well, I'll tell you exactly what they are. 0.91, according to champion data. And that's a little under what I'm looking for when I'm bringing a player in my team. However, I think he's on a bit of an upward swing. Last 3 round average of 96.33, which is better than his 87.80, which means he is on an upward trend, and that's including a 59 in that score. So what I'm saying, Jock, is this man is averaging 96 over the last 3. He's a good selection. Burgoyne, have a look at him.
You are a beautiful individual, Leck Dog. Hearing your voice just makes me smile, mate. Thanks for your call in again. Sean Burgoyne, now, I don't know if it's just me having a bee under me bonnet about him, but I can't bring myself to bringing him in. I know, mate, and I can see he's got the statistics on paper and he's had 3 very solid weeks, but I'm just not convinced of his ability to get through to the end of this season scoring as consistently as we'd like, and that could be bloody crazy. And you very well could, but well, of course, you're bloody Leck Dog, so you very well could be very right. The only other bug there is that round 11 bye coming up for Burgoyne, so you're happy to bring him in knowing that you're going to cop round 11 in the schnoz, or is it the sort of thing you could possibly chuck in your kit bag as one of those options to bring in after round 11? Must remember, community, we've got 3 rounds with these buy rounds. So if you want to save trades, it's a very, very good idea coming into the buys because you can plan. Oh, isn't planning important? No, it's important regardless of what you want to do. Now, if you want to have steak and eggs for breakfast, you have to plan that. You have to make yourself a shopping list. You have to go and get a nice piece of rump from the butchers. You have to get the sort of bread you want. You have to make sure you have the butter. You have to make sure you have a frying pan. You have to plan. If you want to get Sean Burgoyne and you go to the shops, you think, well, hang on, I might get him after round 11 with one of those 3s. How do we plan? Spreadsheets. Yeah, spreadsheets. They're good. You can make a paper one if you want with columns, like I say. I'm a very big fan of columns. Columns tend to make things a lot more columnar, a lot more up and down, and you can really see things. Even, make around 11, 12, 13 column and make them different colours. Make them different colours. Just so that your cortex can understand that better. But maybe make yourself a little shopping list. A post round 11 shopping list. Blokes who have just had their buy. Who's got the buy? Who's got the round 11 buy? Oh, hang on. We got Adelaide. Richmond. Oh, gee, Adelaide. Hang on. Rory Sloane's probably back by then. He could be a bloody bargain. Western Bulldogs' Tommy Liberatore could get him after round 11. He's had his buy. And we talk Hawthorn Sean Burgoyne. We look at Brisbane Lions. See, what'll Pierce Hanley be? Am I going to have massive testicles and I'm not going to bring in Rockcliffe? I'm going to go shopping for him after round 11. Richmond, Trent Conchin. Brett Delidio, you know? Carlton. Maybe not Carlton so much.
Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to
Big Sauce Jacobs. G'day, Jock. Big Ben here. Ladies and gentlemen, news just in. Sauce Jacobs is back and prime for the picking. He's hitting the tons now. He'll have 62 average 3-round average from next week. In a season where rucks are fickle and people like me have had skin bloody flute mints and sitting on the bench too long. Well, he's dead to me, mate. Sauce in, flute out. He's dropped nearly 100,000 since the start of the season, Big Sauce, but looks like he's getting the job done as one of the rucks who can ton up most weeks. Anyway, that's it for me. Regards, Big Bloody Ben.
I bloody love you, Benny. Thank you, mate. I agree.
Good evening, Jock. It's Jambo here. Always a pleasure to call in. I wish listeners to exercise caution when thinking of getting Elliot Yeo. He is a key position player, and we are unclear when he will move back into the key position down back. He's averaged between 58 and 64 over the last three seasons. Also, I invite listeners to consider watching three players over the next 1 to 3 weeks. Scott Pendlebury, Joel Selwood, and Devin Smith. Pendles has a break-even of 184 and will drop significantly to as low as 570,000. Selwood has a break-even of 126 at the cheap price of 532,200. If he misses his break-even, he could drop as low as 510,000. Devin Smith has a break-even of 138 and could drop as low as 480,000. Please let me know your thoughts.
My thoughts are, Jamie, that I love your call-ins, mate. They're wonderful. There's some real good tips there. And I'm interested in the Pendlebury one, mate, because I can tell you, he's one of my, you know, I've left him alone and I'll be picking him up after his bye. And I'm quite happy to see that I could get him at a good bargain. So doesn't it pay to look in advance, Jamie? Thank you for your call, mate.
G'day, Jock. It's Jimmy Allen here, mate. Absolutely loved your podcast on Sunday night. It was absolutely trouser-stretching. Now, mate, we were absolutely carnage last week in Supercoach. I'm stuck on what to do this week. I have the likes of Saylor, Minson, Vandenberg, Cripps and Oxley in my side who I want to get rid of this week. I really want to get Rockley from your side because I reckon it's a one-in-a-generation move. He's 400-nothing, mate. We need to get him in our side. It's now or never. There's absolutely nothing coming up in the terms of cash cows. Jake Lever, I'm not 100%. Not 100% convinced he's scoring output. I would love to know your thoughts there, mate. Maybe hold Salem because Dale of the Bulldogs looks alright for next week, maybe. Now, mate, many people have these blokes that I mentioned in their sides. Who do you reckon are the priorities this week? Because the most important thing in Supercoach is getting the priorities right. Keeping to our structures. Alright, mate. Love to hear your thoughts. Cheers, champ.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts too, Jimmy Dale. And thanks for calling in, mate. What do you got? Salem, Minson, Vandenberg, Oxley, Cripps. And yes, pretty sold on going Rockcliffe, and that's fine. You know, I did hold up a stunning mirror to our community earlier tonight, but that's fine. Aaron Vandenberg completely bottomed out now, and it's not so much of a jump Vandenberg to Rockcliffe, so I think that's your answer there. Just bear in mind, though, for those that still have Vandenberg and they're frustrated because they have to wait to move him on, might not be such a bad thing because, look, Melbourne have a round 13 bye. So even if Vandenberg, you don't get to take his cash until, you know, round 12 after that bye, at least you could have Vandenberg to plug some holes. So I wouldn't be shattered if you have to hold on to Vandenberg for a little bit longer. But based on that list you gave me, mate, yeah, I'd probably go Vandenberg up to Rockcliffe, mate.
Hey, Jock, if you could talk about Oxley, Cripps, Vandenberg, Minson, Salem, Rockcliffe, Lever and Dale in tonight's podcast, that'd be great. Okay, thanks, mate.
Good on you, mate. I'm not sure if I can cover all of those in a little bit of time, but yeah, some important ones to cover off. Jake Lever, Adelaide defender, 157,000 on the bubble. Do we get him in? Oh, I don't know. He's a high-price rookie. Our problem is it's stuff all rookies to sort of trade into your team that are really putting their hand up and saying, oi, bring me in. Jake Lever's here if you want him, but geez, I can tell you I'm not falling over myself to trade him into my defence for those that might be looking to maybe trade Nathan Brown out to bring in someone like Lever for a bit of cash, but not much. I wouldn't bother. As I said before, Oxley, maybe we hold on to Oxley for a bit. You know, can we just wait for some decent options to come about? Other things we should talk about, of course, Tom Mitchell. Let Dog talk about Tom Mitchell and his video Tuesday night. I don't think it's too late to get him in. I think he's here to stay. Gee, I hope I don't regret saying that because, God, he's staggered us before. Other great selections this week, of course, Luke Parker. What an option there. His break-even's about zero. He's only 525 grand. He's a hell of a lot cheaper than he was at the beginning of the year. So those who are with me and they're still having to think about Tom Rockcliffe, gosh, Luke Parker, wonderful option. Stephen Johnson, for those who might have that, you know, just a little bit more girth in the old spuds. He is also rock-bottomed at 456, and he's a fantastic option. And who else can we talk about if you're looking for Brendan Goddard, still reasonable. Brett Delidio's back, but he'll have a big-ish break-even, so we could see him drop lower than he's sort of 530 on at the moment. I'm still happy with Brent Harvey as a selection, and as Higo talked about on the weekend, Lance Franklin at just 475 odd with Hawthorn. We know he'll get up for against his old team. Then he's got Carlton, Gold Coast. So Lance Franklin's a good option up forward. Now, we have to mention the Moneyball fantasy format. As always, we've settled into a bit of a rhythm. If you want to have a crack at Moneyball, what she is a new fantasy format. There's contests that we've made up. One of them's the Jock Reynolds Full Monty. That's a contest. And you put a different team in every week. You've got nine players. So a team of nine players, they have fantasy prices. You've got a salary cap. It's a similar sort of idea, but a smaller team. And it's a week-to-week proposition, and sometimes even a day-to-day. We've got the Sunday Lobster. So there's a contest, $20 in, group of us get together, winner takes the spoils, but it's just a team that you select out of available Sunday-eligible players. Wonderful fun. Never do this for sheep stations. This is fun, you know. Only if you're the sort of bloke that's got a bit of spare change, do not stretch your budget with this sort of stuff. If it's getting to be a sort of stress for you, absolutely this is wrong. You know, and there are people, as Lekdog mentioned last week, there's people that can help with that sort of stuff. So don't hesitate to get some help. But if you want to have a bit of fun, Moneyball, there's a link in the show notes. Look, Rockliffe, huge theme, huge decision, huge weekend of fantasy footy coming up. Thanks again to our sponsors from Concrete Booking Agency. Go to concretebookingagency.com.au, hit their website, go and get some beautiful concrete. It just pours out. Wonderful stuff. You can get it wherever you want. I'm Jock Reynolds. Have an awesome week. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of your friends. Show a lot of love. I'm Jock Reynolds.